guest tonight. Good evening and welcome to everyone. Russell of Russell Louis, owner of OptimumChoices.com. Write this down, and if you need to contact Russell, he's at Russell@OptimumChoices.com, and do visit the website. He has great stories and great information about bio preparation, bio superfood, and Russell has developed an expertise working with particularly with cats and dogs, really since 2001, since the beginning of the launch of the bio superfood and bio preparation in the U.S. And has contributed greatly to really the development of some of the recommendations and the gathering of knowledge and cases working with animals. We go ahead, Russell.
Well, thank you very much, Roland. As Roland said, I've been using the product myself, the human version, for about 5 years now. We started using it on animals in the very beginning, before biopreparation came out, and we saw the wonderful results that we were getting, and so we literally switched our business and our marketing to concentrate on animals. So right now, I would say 75 to 80% of our business at Optimum Choices is with animals. And I'd like to share with you my experiences with the product and kind of give you a little bit of learning about it. I had a very steep learning curve in the very beginning. It was just me and Roland. I had nobody really to turn to. So I'm sharing with you about 5 years of experience and knowledge. I'm going to go through what are supplements first and what the difference is between natural and holistic supplements. Then I'm going to go over some research about the dangers of using isolated supplements and then give you the benefits of using a truly holistic product like biosuperfood and biopreparation. And then I'll finally answer the question, well, why is supplementing symptoms not really holistic? Because that's the title of the talk. One really needs to make a shift in the paradigm. We have to forget all our previous holistic concepts, and this is exactly what I had to do. I have over 50 years of holistic experience, and I had to shift my whole concept of what holistic health was. What you probably think is holistic and what you're doing is holistic today, I'll bet 50% of what you're doing is not. And so I'm going to go over the reasons why. So let's go through just a basic definition of what a supplement is. A supplement is something added to complete a thing. Its supplement is to make up a deficiency, or it's to extend or strengthen the whole. This is from the dictionary. But in my opinion, a supplement is like putting your finger in the dike to stop the water. You all remember the little, you know, fairy tale about the Dutch boy going by the dike and seeing a leak, and he sticks his finger in the hole. You know, everyone calls him a hero. He stopped the leak, you know. Well, there's only one problem. The Dutch boy has to stay there until somebody comes with a solution. Because, yeah, he temporarily stopped the water leak, but that's not a permanent solution. He's got to stay in there for the rest of his life. And this is kind of my view of what supplements are. When you take a supplement, yes, you are fixing the current symptom. Yes, you're making up for a deficiency. And yes, you may be temporarily strengthening the whole, but now you've made your body dependent on that supplement. Just like the Dutch boy, he can't pull his finger out of the hole, otherwise the water will start flowing again. So my question that I ask myself then is taking supplements really holistic? And let's go through my reasoning. I have two classes of products, and I call one natural and one holistic. A lot of stuff in the health food stores are very natural, but in my opinion, they're not totally holistic. They may be partially, but not 100%, and I'll tell you why. My definition of natural is that it's made from, or it's extracted from, or it's concentrated from a whole food, and it usually just contains the active ingredients. And a lot of products out there like that, they give very good results, and they take care of symptoms. Now, my definition of holistic is, it's not just made from a whole food source, but it contains the whole food and all the other complementary ingredients that nature said is intended to make all the nutrients work. And that's the difference. I mean, just about every product in the health food store can say, yeah, it's natural and it's made from a whole food source. That's fine. That's a given. But not many products can say they contain all the ingredients that the whole food food contains and all the ingredients that nature said are needed. So why is this important? Well, new research shows that 90% of a fruit and vegetable's antioxidant power is contained in the peel and just below the skin. So, if we want a source of vitamin C, and we go to the store and we get fresh squeezed orange juice, yes, we are getting pure ascorbic acid. Yes, we are getting a source of vitamin C. But the other 90% of an orange's antioxidant power is being thrown away in the pulp, in the peel, and the rind. See, it's the orange peel and the rind that contain the rutin, the bioflavonoids, the selenium, the zinc, the vitamin E, and a host of other complementary minerals and ingredients that nature dictated our bodies need to make vitamin C to work. How do I know this? Go to the health food store, go to the vitamin C section, look at the cheapest bottle, probably $7.99, $9.99 for 100 tablets. It'll say vitamin C from a pure ascorbic acid source, and that's all you're going to get. Now go to the expensive section. Go to the $30 and $40 bottle vitamin C, and you'll see vitamin C made from Acerola cherries or green peppers or oranges, and also containing rutin, bioflavonoids, zinc, selenium, vitamin E, all these other ingredients that nature said needs to work. So these companies have done their research, and they find that their patients get better results if you add all these extra ingredients in addition to ascorbic acid. So let me give you an empirical example. We all know from our school books that in the 17th century, the Europeans were crossing the Atlantic, and they discovered that if they drank fresh lime juice, they could avoid the disease scurvy. And it wasn't until the 19th century that scientists actually isolated the ingredient as ascorbic acid or vitamin C that was contained in the citrus fruits that was helping these European travelers avoid scurvy. Well, what's not in the textbooks is the following two facts. One, by taking vitamin C in the form of pure ascorbic acid, one can temporarily stop the symptoms of scurvy, but the disease comes back once the vitamin C supplement is stopped. So here you have a natural source of vitamin C. Yes, it does get rid of the symptoms, but when you take away this natural vitamin C, the disease comes back. Well, further experiments showed that taking vitamin C made from an extract of whole food green peppers, not only did the symptoms go away, but the scurvy was cured once the extract of whole food green peppers was stopped. The reason being, whole food green peppers does contain the rutin, bioflavonoids, vitamin E, selenium, and zinc, so you had a holistic healing of the body itself, and you weren't just supplementing the symptoms of scurvy. And to me, this really brings out the point that a whole food product has more in it and is more beneficial at wellness than supplementing the symptoms are. So let's go through some of the different classes of products that might be out there. You have isolated supplements, say a capsule of vitamin A or a calcium tablet, or if you're into glandulars, I have adrenal supplements and thyroid supplements. And these offer just a single point of benefit. You know, you're just supplementing a single deficiency. And while, yes, you may alleviate the symptoms, you're not really healing the body from within. Okay, another class above the isolated supplements are what I call whole food products. And what these are your oranges, your apples, your broccoli, your nuts, your cashews and almonds, your seeds, flax seeds and sunflower seeds, a wonderful source of amino acids and protein. And then you have your fish, like your salmons and your sardines and your organ meat. Well, of course, the whole foods contains more than a single point of benefit of an isolated supplement. You know, they contain much more in them. And theoretically, we should get all our nutrition from whole foods. But the problem is, in today's fast-paced society, in our compartmentalizing, you know, our need for nutrients, we rely on supplements for our individual bodies and the deficiencies rather than whole foods. I mean, if you just ask yourself, when was the last time you ate something live and green? I mean, did you eat anything live and green today? we're really not getting the full nutrition in our food diet. Well, there's another class of products above whole food products, and that's superfoods. And what superfoods are, they're a very high concentration of nutrients in a single food, much more than an apple or an orange. And some classes, some examples of superfoods are like spirulina, algae, kelp, garlic and bee pollen are superfoods. Cod liver oil is a superfood. Remember our grandparents used to give our parents cod liver oil to boost the immune system. And it worked. That's because it was a superfood. And of course today we have goji berries and wolf berries and a whole host of other new superfoods. But what you have in a superfood, you have a food that's either very high in concentration and has a broad range of nutrients, so you're getting a lot in a little package, or it has the intensity and the therapeutic value of several ingredients, like beta-carotene or vitamin A or calcium. So it's very heavy and high concentration in a few nutrients. So there's two classes of superfoods. You can have one that's therapeutic and very potent, or you can have one that's very broad in terms of nutrients. Well, that's good. If you research the indigenous societies, the societies that lived off the land, the agricultural societies, you'll find that each of these societies had a superfood of their own choosing. It, you know, depends on where, what culture they were in, depends on whether they lived by the sea or on land, and what continent they lived on. But they all had superfoods. And it was the medicine men, the shamans, that were in charge of delegating who got the superfoods. Some of them, it was algae cakes. Others, it was bee pollen. Others, it was the caviar, the fish eggs. In China, it was the ginseng and the goji berries. But they reserved these superfoods for three classes of people: the sick, the elderly, and pregnant women. And obviously, the first two, they would need the concentrated nutrients. But why pregnant women? It's because they knew that to develop healthy babies, a mother needed to have more nutrition than was ordinarily eaten in their diet. And so that's why they delegated these superfoods to pregnant women. Well, we have lost that knowledge and that wisdom in our culture today. I mean, some of the health, you know, health food nuts, they eat garlic and they eat bee pollen and they eat algae and they know it's good for them. But for the mainstream population, they don't have a source of superfoods anymore. It's totally gone from our culture, unfortunately. Well, there's actually a new class of superfoods. And we have to thank Dr. Kiriak for this. And he literally has spent 15 to 20 years researching this. And what he did was he found through his research that, yes, some superfoods are good in broad nutrition. You can gain a lot of nutrients from them, and they can be used for maintenance to help us, you know, not get sick and boost our immune system. But once you get sick, you need a high potency, you need a therapeutic value of alpha-carotenes, beta-carotenes, high in antioxidants, whatever, to get rid of the illness. And so what he did was he blended two broad-range superfoods with two potent and therapeutic superfoods. And that's why there are four different blends of algae and spirulina in biosuperfood and biopreparation. The Spirulina pacifica, the Spirulina blatensis, is the broad range of nutrients. I'm sure there are other algae products that you've heard of that uses blue-green algae and spirulina, and they're all great products. But they don't have the therapeutic value to eliminate cancer tumors in animals like his research needed. So he put together two more algaes, Dunaway and astaxanthin, which were shown in research to eliminate cancer in animals, the tumors. And he put those two together with the spirulinas. And this is what his product consists of. And I've been living a holistic lifestyle for almost 55 years now, and I've never seen these specific four in any other product. I've seen one, two, maybe three, but certainly not four. And that's what makes this product unique. Dr. Kiriak has taken four separate superfoods and put it in one product get the benefit of both worlds. So how is this different now than just supplementing with, you know, supplements, with vitamin supplements? Well, there's a lot of research coming out now, and I'm sure you've seen this on the news and in the internet, and I'm just going to go point to a few of them. But in the Pediatrics magazine in 2004, they ran a study, and they said early infant multivitamin supplementation is associated with an increased risk for food allergies and asthma. And my wife and I are prime examples. We grew up in the 50s, and I was not fed mother's milk. I was fed a formula, you know, with lots of multivitamins in it, because the doctor says this formula is nutrition-rich, and it's better than mother's milk. And so this is what I was given, and I today have food allergies, and I have hay fever. And my wife has food allergies, and she's chemically sensitive. So this kind of proves the study. Another study, more recent, was in the JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association, February 2007. They stated that a Danish study found that vitamin E and other antioxidant supplements provided no health benefits and may even produce a small increase in the risk of death. They had a 4% increase in the risk of death with vitamin E, a 16% increase in the risk of death with vitamin A, and a 7% increase in the risk of death with beta-carotene. And you look at this on the face value and you go, whoa, that means, you know, all vitamins are bad, vitamin E is bad and everything. Well, that's not exactly what the study shows. If you look at the study, they used vitamin E in synthetic form, and it was a single isolated molecule or supplement of vitamin E. They didn't contain all the other complementary vitamins and minerals and enzymes that you need that nature put in the food that had vitamin E in it. They just used a single source. And so what this tells me is, yes, if you use synthetic vitamin E, if you give very large doses of a single vitamin, just E itself, yes, you do imbalance the body, and you might very well have an increased risk of death. So rather than poo-poo these studies, which, you know, all the health food stores are doing, they're trying to find fault with it, I look at this and I'm saying, you know, this really does prove my initial hypothesis that getting your nutrition from whole food products is much better than supplementation. Let's go over a real simple example here, and this was brought to me by a customer. But soy milk is being advertised as an excellent calcium substitute for those who cannot drink milk. Now, research shows that in addition to calcium, you need magnesium and vitamin D for the proper assimilation of calcium. So you can't just have calcium by itself. You need magnesium and vitamin D. And I would put forth that there probably are many more complementary ingredients that are needed, but this is just the ones the scientists have discovered today. Well, here's a statement from Dr. Joseph Mercola's website. I'm sure most of you know Mercola. But he says, the actual amount of calcium available in these fortified drinks can be as much as 85% less than the amount indicated on the product label. Why is that? Well, it's because a lot of these drinks don't come with the calcium in it, in the food. They fortify it. So they add external calcium. And what happens is it doesn't assimilate into the drink properly and kind of sinks to the bottom. So one, if you don't shake it up, you're not getting all of it. And two, it's not being distributed properly. And three, they're just adding calcium. They're not adding magnesium or vitamin D, which nature said are essential for assimilation of calcium. Here's some more research. Research shows that the high levels of phytic acid in soy reduce the assimilation of calcium, magnesium, copper, iron, and zinc. So wait a minute. Soy is being advertised as a calcium substitute, but research also shows that the phytic acid in soy reduces the assimilation of calcium and magnesium. These are two of the most essential ingredients for the function of calcium. Well, further research shows that any diet that's high in phytic acid or phytate diets, they literally cause growth problems in children. So the children have stunted growth. So it's not just soy, but anything with high phytic acid. And so the reason why this was significant for my customer is she was complaining that her daughter, her child, was slow in healing a broken bone. And so I was suggesting, you know, buy a superfood as a supplement that might help that. And then she was saying, Well, she doesn't drink milk, so I was worried that she wasn't getting enough calcium, so I'm buying soy milk. And so I asked her, well, so what does the label say? Well, it says, you know, it's good as a calcium supplement, has so many milligrams per ounce and all this. And I'm going, but wait a minute. Research shows that you're not assimilating the calcium because of the phytic acid in the soy. And she goes, oh my gosh, I wonder if that's why my child's bone is not healing. And you can find all these facts in a book called The Whole Soy Story. And it's kind of an expose because it's got a lot of research that the health food industry doesn't want you to know. And it's research like this that we pull from. We actually did a review on it in one of our newsletter articles, so if you want more information on soy, go to www.optimumchoices.com and then choose the search button and just search on the word soy. That'll probably take you to the book review and our newsletter article on it. So anyway, my whole point is, one is really getting a false sense of security by reading the milligrams of calcium on a soy label. You know, you think, oh, it's fortified in soy, it has all this soy naturally, you know, in the soy milk, and I'm utilizing it, and this is great. Well, in actuality, you're not. And this is one reason why this child's broken bone was not really healing. She wasn't having enough calcium in her diet. And let me go with you a little bit about the analysis that I went through. There's a difference between allopathic value of a product and a holistic wellness value of a product. And I'm going to use calcium as an example. Supposing you have a supplement of calcium, and it says there's 1,000 milligrams of calcium per tablet. Well, research, Dr. Kiriak's research shows that if you take external calcium, you have probably a maximum absorption of about 18%. So if you take 1,000 milligrams times 18%, you get a net utilization of about 180 milligrams. Okay, that's fine. Now, what his further research showed is that if you take biosuperfood, you increase this net utilization from 18% absorption rate to about a 90 to 95% absorption rate. So this means that the trace amounts of calcium in the biosuperfood, instead of 18% absorption, you'll get 90. But it also means, because of all the other enzymes, amino acids, the vitamin D, and the magnesium already in biosuperfood algae, that you will increase your calcium absorption from all the other foods that you're eating, whether it's meat, whether it's broccoli, whether it's green leafy vegetables like collards and kale. They all have calcium in it. But normally, in food, you don't absorb 90 to 95%. But with the bio superfood, with all the enzymes, amino acids, magnesium, and, you know, the vitamin D, you have a 90 to 95% net utilization. So let's just say, for example's sake, that you probably eat about 300 milligrams of calcium total per day. In other words, in your food, in the milk that you might drink, in the soy products you might drink, whatever, and in the biosuperfood. Well, if you take 300 milligrams and times it by 90%, you will get 270 milligrams of net utilization. And so, if you take external calcium and nothing else, you take 1,000 milligrams per day, you'll get a net utilization of 180 milligrams. Whereas if you take biosuperfood, eat your normal healthy diet, and take no supplements, you'll get 270 milligrams of calcium net utilization. So you can't really compare the 1,000 milligram tablet with the 300 milligrams that you eat in your daily food, because the net utilization is 50% more just by taking biosuperfood. Okay, so yeah, I mean, just looking at the label, just looking at the milligrams, just looking at the advertising, you know, fortified with calcium and all this stuff, it's not really giving you the whole picture of what your body is utilizing and the net utilization. So, is that the only danger, you know, is just getting a false sense of security the only danger? Well, I've done further research, and I'm an engineer by profession. I have a degree in geophysical engineering. And I have found out there's even more danger than we know about by taking isolated supplements. And I'm going to give you a few examples here. This is from the Physician's Desk Reference for Non-Prescription Drugs and Supplements. It's in the 2005 edition. And it says, glucosamine may impair insulin secretion through competitive inhibition of glucanase in the pancreatic beta cells and or alteration of peripheral glucose uptake. That's a lot of words here. And basically what it means is patients with diabetes should be cautious taking glucosamine, since glucosamine may affect their insulin sensitivity and glucose tolerance. So when you think about it, all right, you're taking glucosamine for your joints, all right, you have inflammation. You're taking it for one thing, but it's upsetting the balance and it's affecting your insulin sensitivity and glucose tolerance. So what does that mean? Well, it means if you're older and perhaps your pancreas function is, you know, not quite 100%, maybe it's 75%, maybe because of your lifestyle, you might be borderline type 2 diabetic, or you might be pre-diabetic or whatever, and now you need to take glucosamine. So you take high doses of glucosamine, trying to get rid of the inflammation, take care of the arthritis, but now you're upsetting the blood sugar balance and the insulin sensitivity, and maybe, and I'm just saying maybe now, this might push you over that pre-diabetic stage to actually become a diabetic. You know, it's something to think about. Here's another fact about glucosamine. Our body normally manufactures glucosamine to take care of inflammation. And it does so, you know, with all the raw materials it gets. It uses the amino acids and the sugars and the vitamins and everything and the enzymes. And it manufactures glucosamines and then it sends it to whatever part of the body needs it, whether it's a knee or a joint. It sends it through the bloodstream and it naturally tries to repair it and take down the inflammation. Well, what we try and do when we take glucosamine supplements, we try and mimic that. But what we're doing is we're taking glucosamine orally, therefore it has to go through the digestive tract. When it goes through the digestive tract, it gets in the stomach, it gets in the bloodstream where yeast live. And glucosamine is a derivative of the glucose molecule. You know, it has the same root, glucose, okay? So you're taking glucosamine, a derivative of the sugar molecule, you're putting it in the digestive tract where yeast live. Yeast love sugar. They'll feed on sugar. So what we're doing is we're providing the yeast a source of energy and a building block to increase the yeast overgrowth and a flare-up of candida symptoms. So we're taking a supplement orally, whereas the body would naturally send it internally through the bloodstream. So we're kind of circumventing nature's, you know, natural path and natural cycle, but we're upsetting the balance of yeast now. And so by fixing one thing, we're upsetting the balance in another. Here's a final example of one of the dangers of supplementation. And Roland mentioned this in the introduction, in the email announcement. But really, consuming digestive enzymes is not holistic because it can leave a lazy pancreas. And let me explain this. Our pancreas is in charge of, it's in charge of the blood sugar levels and insulin, but it's also in charge of manufacturing digestive enzymes. So when the stomach gets food, it sends a signal to the pancreas, and it says, hey, I got food coming down here, I need some enzymes. So then the pancreas starts to manufacture the enzymes. So that, together with the hydrochloric acid in the stomach, it digests the food. Well, because of age, you know, our organs generally decrease in function with age, because maybe not, there's not enough raw ingredients. You know, a lot of us don't eat enough live foods to provide the coenzymes and the cofactors and the live raw food ingredients to manufacture enzymes. Maybe because of an injury, the pancreas, you know, is not fully functional. Or maybe the pancreas is stressed. Like I say, a lot of people don't eat right. They may be borderline type 2 diabetic or they may be pre-diabetic. And the pancreas is really stressed trying to deal with all this excess sugar levels in our blood. And so it doesn't have enough energy or have enough capacity to also manufacture the digestive enzymes that we need. So what happens here? The body is showing symptoms and signs of not being able to digest the food. So a practitioner or you or whoever go to the health food store and you take some digestive enzymes. You get maybe 6 or 8 digestive enzymes in a jar and you go home and you take them. So your body gets the enzymes through the stomach, and whenever you eat, now it has this external source of enzymes. So the stomach says, oh, okay, I seem to have enough digestive enzymes for this meal. All right, pancreas, I don't need any more digestive enzymes. So the pancreas stops producing digestive enzymes when it really should be producing them now, but you supplemented the deficiency with an external